thought it stays plugged in.
Turn this, there we go. All right, let's speed up a little bit, and we're going to probably take one more break at 11. So that's 40 or 45 minutes. The last session is not very long, okay? So let's try to get a, let's pick up a little speed here on your notes. There should be a letter A that says the love. This love is a sacrificial love. Are we together on that? Am I at the right place? This love is a sacrificial love. It is not a feeling. It is a choice of obedience. I hear so many, even Christian people, they say, "Preacher, I just don't love her anymore." She says, "I just don't love him anymore." And what they're saying is, "I don't feel that. I don't have a feeling." But love is far, far more than a feeling. Love is commitment. I love somebody so much that there's nothing I wouldn't do, and I want to do all I can. You see, it's a choice. And when you choose to obey, God always rewards obedience, okay? Feelings can come and go. All marriages will go through sometimes days, sometimes weeks, where you just, you know, things aren't as close as they were or you wish they were, and then they get better. And then it goes through another. It's ups and downs, and all kinds of problems come. But you have to make up your mind that I'm going to do the right thing. It's kind of like a train. The train is your faith in God and the locomotive. And they don't make cabooses anymore, but they used to have a caboose. And the caboose is like the feeling. It follows. Wherever the train goes, the caboose is going to follow, right? And so when you're by faith, putting your faith in God, obeying, the feeling will come, okay? You don't want to build your life, your family, your marriage on feeling, or we would have all given up a long time ago. So it is a feeling. Death, it's a choice of obedience, death to self, okay? The supernatural love, you have to get it to give it. We already talked about that. Your relationship to God is going to pour over into your wife and to your children, to your husband and to your children, okay? Unforgiveness destroys marriages. That is also a choice, by the way, to forgive. God freely forgave us. I don't understand, and I'm not a great spiritual giant by any means, but I don't understand how people can carry a grudge and say, "I'm never going to forgive you as long as I live." And yet they call themselves born-again Christians, washed in the blood, forgiven of every sin, past, present, and future. But they're not going to forgive somebody who hurt them. I don't understand that. I understand it can be hard. I understand it can be a challenge. I can understand wounds sometimes can last a while. Words, things you can't take back. you said you wish you could take them back. I don't understand unforgiveness, because it'll destroy you, it'll destroy your marriage. So beware of accumulating unforgiveness. Don't let things stack up that you're holding on to. Beware of accumulating. It's the wrong word, beware. True spirituality is death to self. Paul said, I die daily. Sometimes it's hard to recognize the real strong spiritual leader in a family, because maybe he's quiet, or he's humble, or he's maybe meek. You know, Jesus was meek. Was he weak? Absolutely not. Okay, meekness is not weakness. Meekness is strength under control. Strength under control. One of the great tests of a marriage, especially with husbands, is can you receive correction? Someone said the three hardest words in the human language, I was wrong. We have to humble ourselves to say, you were right, I was wrong. The only problem is Shelley's always right, and I'm always wrong. I'm just kidding. But that's a real test. You say, well, I don't have any pride, I'm very humble. But when somebody corrects you, you were wrong what you said, what you did was wrong. Do we want to get ready to defend ourselves, or do we at least take a breath and say, maybe she's right, or maybe he's right? So when you can receive construction, reproof, even criticism, if it's constructive criticism from your wife or husband, and humbly admit inwardly, that's dying to self. Letter B is, secondly, it is a purifying love. A purifying love. If you're still in Ephesians chapter 5, we were there quite a while ago, it talks about husbands, love your wives as yourself. And it's so that you can present your wife. That's kind of interesting that he uses that, presenting. He's preparing her. A husband is preparing his wife for a presentation. He desires to be proud of her. Wife, let me ask you something. Do you feel like your husband is proud of you? I'm just asking. You don't have to answer yes or no. And husbands, you ought to know that. Does your wife think that you're embarrassed by her, or are you proud of her? Wives, are you proud of your husband? When he walks in the room, do you wish everybody could meet him? I'm so proud. In the right sense, of course, we're not talking about a sinful pride. But this purifying love she is his pride and joy. Is that what you would say about your wife? And would your husband say that about you? I'm his pride and joy. Just like a church is to represent Christ to the world, Christ's beauty, his glorious beauty, so that unsaved world sometimes can envy us. You know, that's part of soul winning and witnessing, is to live such a life that your unsaved people you work with or your neighbors, they almost envy you. Wow. I wonder what it'd be like to have a life like that. Envy. Does wives envy you as a husband? Do you have wives say, I wish my husband was like that? Or do men get together and hunt and say, man, I wish my wife was like that? Well, of course, there's always a danger in comparing. We don't want to get caught into that trap, because you don't know everything. What you see is not always what really is behind closed doors. We obviously know that. But husbands, be careful not to lead your wife into any sin. We won't spend a lot of time on that, but that should be next on your filling in the blanks there. Be careful, protect her, don't expose her to things that are not good for her or for your children. You know, you could really take all this, and this is kind of strange, but I scribbled it in here. We know what discipleship is, but discipling our family, discipling our wife, our husband, our children, discipling them, sharing, helping make sure they grow. Did you know the word husband actually is an agricultural term? A husbandman is the one that oversees a crop, or in the Bible, most of the time it would be the vines and things of that sort. He was the husband. So think of, as you men think of that, your role as a husband is to nurture and to make her bloom, reach her goals, to enjoy her life. It's not just one long work force that's going on, but she's blooming, discipling. It's challenging sometimes for us men to live with a godly woman who expects you to live everything you preach and has high expectations. Sometimes that can be difficult. We could have unreal expectations on both sides. Sometimes a woman can have too high expectations of her husband, or her husband too high for his wife. And so you need to be careful about that. So true love is always concerned with the purity of its object. First Corinthians, we talked about it, we don't need to turn there, but talks about the women in the church asking of their husbands. That's not a put down. Women are being spiritually, as women being spiritually inferior. I've mentioned that already many, many times. But it's a challenging husbands to know their Bible and to have answers for his family. Ephesians 5:27, that he might present it to himself a glorious church. Again, he's comparing the wife to a church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. No man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it. Good word, cherish. We don't use that much anymore either. Cherish. How do you cherish your wife? Even as the Lord, the church, God nourishes and he cherishes his church. He cherisheth it. The Bible says the Lord's portion is his people. God doesn't ever just sit around on every day and say, boy, what an ocean I made. Man, that is so beautiful. Those mountains are gorgeous. No, God says the Lord's portion is his people. God has his eye on you. That's what interests God. When it says all things work together for good to the love of God, God's children, God is interested in how anything and everything's going to affect you. Okay? Again, now transfer that to a marriage. A husband, the center of his life is not his job, it's not his hobby, it's his wife. He wants to cherish his wife. And Luke 6:38 doesn't just have to do with money. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Again, that's back to responding. You get what you give. You treat your woman, you treat your wife with a love and respect and cherishing her, guess what? It's going to bounce right back and hit you in the face. You reap what you sow. You say, well, I don't know about that. Well, I do. And if you'll try it, God, that's a promise from God. Okay? You get what you give. Okay? So you want to get more, give more. Talking about love, time, caring, understanding. Present her in her pure splendor. Draw out her inward beauty. There's no place for degrading your spouse or criticizing them or all that. Lift each other up. Cover each other's faults. My wife knows my faults better than anybody, obviously. But she don't go around telling everybody else about my faults. And I don't go around telling the faults of my wife. You don't expose them publicly. You don't criticize them publicly. Love seeks to honor. So husbands, love your wives, not with your own love, but with God's love that is poured into you daily. So look, stay, put some kind of mark or just commit it to memory if you haven't already. Ephesians chapter 5. Go over it and over it and over it and over it. Think of the church in your relationship and transfer that as a picture to marriage. The goal, the desire, the model, the things that you would like to see happen and become real. Go to 1 Peter chapter 3 for just a moment. 1 Peter chapter 3. Are you there? Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives. That's talking about a wife who has an unsaved husband. By the conversation, the lifestyle of the wife, a husband may not listen to the preacher. He's not saved. He may not be interested in being saved. He doesn't read the Bible. But he can't not see what kind of wife he's got. A wife who honors and respects, doesn't browbeat and doesn't constantly put him down. He sees a wife that respects him and honors him, even if he's not a Christian. She doesn't constantly nag him about what he should do or what he shouldn't do. It says in verse 2, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear. Whose adorning? Let it not be that outward adorning. And he's comparing the inward to the outward. He's not saying, as there's some denominations out there that say it's a sin for women to fix themselves up. Whose adorning is, let it not be outward adorning of plaiting the hair and wearing of gold or putting on apparel. That's not the main thing. But let it be the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. Is that right? Yes. Great price. God puts a premium. For after this manner in the old time, the holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. In other words, it was very common because they were looking, they were respecting, showing honor. Whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well, and are not afraid with any amazement. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge. We talked about knowing, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together. We're going to end with that in just a few moments, but the last session. But look at it. Heirs together of the grace of God. A husband needs grace. A wife needs grace. What is grace? Most people say, well, it's love. God's riches at Christ's expense and all that. But it's also, always include this in your definition. When you see the word grace, it means divine enablement. The grace of God enables you to do things that are impossible to do in your own flesh. The grace of God. Amen? Grace. We're saved by grace. We have to live by grace. We're going to die by grace. I mean, it's all grace. And so we can't say, well, I'm sorry, preacher, I just can't do that. Well, join the club. I can't do it either. I tell people all the time, as I said, a lot in my morning sermons, I would say, listen, if you're here today and you're not saved, God I tell them the Christian life is not hard. And everybody goes, what did you say? And I say, let me say it again. The Christian life is not hard. And everybody gets quiet and I go, it's impossible. Impossible. That's why Paul said, for to me to live is Christ. But he said, yet not I. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I. Well, then whose lives? Christ lives through us. That'll be a great, great day in life when a Christian understands it's not trying harder. It's saying, Lord, live through me. Speak through me. Encourage people through me. Let it go through me. I don't have it in me. God says, well, I've been waiting for you to figure that out. You don't have it. You can't do it without me. Jesus, without me, you can do nothing. And yet, how much of our daily life do we try to do without saying, God, I can't do this? We usually call God in emergencies. But you know what? The older you get, the more you realize, I can't do this. Only Christ can do it. I can't make my husband or my wife or my kid. Only Christ. I can't do everything my wife or husband wants me to do. I can't meet all of his needs. Isn't that true, you men and women? You don't have to shake your head or anything, but in your heart you know, my husband can't meet every need. Only Christ can meet every need. You can meet some, but you can't meet all your wife's needs or your husband's needs. Only Jesus. More of Christ. Now, let's go to, I think you have a in your book there, the seven basic needs of a wife. Then we'll have the seven basic needs of a husband. Then we'll close a little bit on the heirs of grace. Do you have that? Seven basic needs of a wife. Dwell with them according to knowledge. A husband cannot lead unless he is led. You want to lead your family? Yes, sir, I really would. Well, then you're going to have to let Christ lead you. A husband cannot feed unless he is fed. He cannot teach unless he is being taught. We have what we call, we still have men of valor in our church. You have it here or something similar to that. But we have men that disciple men on Monday and Tuesday night, two different groups. And they're taught and they're fed so they can lead their, every husband, if he's a Christian, wants to lead, but no one tells them how. How do you lead when they don't want to follow and all this kind of stuff? And that's kind of the basis of that time that those men meet together and reading through the Bible every year, all the way through the Bible. And they discuss that every week because they can't teach unless they've been taught. Men are to be initiators. Women are to be responders. Modern society, women have become the initiator and the husband responds. God says, I want men to make the decision. It doesn't mean that you can't ask your wife, where would you like to go to dinner tonight? Well, that's being kind and considerate and selfless, right? Doesn't mean that you can't do that, but you initiate. So many families are waiting for somebody to make a decision, to make up their mind. Women are to be responders. A husband understands the needs of his wife and seeks to meet those needs will find a wife who will joyfully submit and support him. So what are the basic needs? Number one, she needs the stability. That's a very important word. Stability and direction of a spiritual leader. Put in parentheses right after that if you can find a place, security. Every survey I've ever seen, women have always said their number one desire is to feel safe, secure, stable. Women, most women worry about what's going to happen if my husband dies. What's going to happen if he loses his job? What's going to happen if the economy goes haywire? What's going to happen if I get sick? We make fun of women as worriers, and worrying can get out of control, obviously. God doesn't want us to worry. But women need, their number one need is to feel secure. Not to toss and turn every night, what if, what if, what if. But they say, my husband serves God, he's faithful to God and God's house, and he prays, and God said, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. What things? Jesus said, take no thought what ye shall eat or drink or put on. God says, you put me first, I'm going to take care of you. You may not be able to afford to eat steak every day. You may not be able to have a new car every year. Your house may not be the biggest house in the neighborhood, but God says you can have peace and joy and contentment if you'll put me first, I'll take care of you. Now, a wife needs to know that her husband is in that kind of position. God's going to take care of us. Amen. Amen. Yeah. So think about that for just a minute. How secure does your wife feel? We're talking about the basic needs. If you don't know her needs, how are you going to make her happy? How are you going to honor her and serve her and help her to reach her goal? How are you going to know that? Number two, she needs to know that she is meeting vital needs in your life and work that no other woman can meet. Your wife needs to feel needed, that you're incomplete without her. Only your wife, she needs to know that she's vital, she's important, not just to cook and clean, but that you can't make it without her. She needs to feel that. It's not enough to know it. It's just like I said the other night about love. Just because you say you love someone is not going to help unless it's expressed. And there's hundreds, limitless ways to express your love, but it has to be expressed. Same thing for a husband, same thing with kids. A lot of kids that go way off in a life of destruction that have, they in counseling, they'll say, well, I just never felt that dad or mom really loved me. They didn't say, they don't love me. They said, I just didn't feel accepted. I didn't feel wanted. I didn't feel important. I didn't feel loved. Express that love. She needs to know that. This is a basic need. That she is meeting vital needs in your life and work that no other woman can meet. Okay? Number three, she needs to see and hear that you cherish her and that you delight in her as a person. Again, not just as a maid and a cook and a cab driver to take the kids everywhere they got to go and all that stuff, but you delight in her as a person. Number four, she needs to know that you understand her by protecting her in areas of her limitations. Do you know, wives, do you know your husband's limitations? Husbands, do you know your wives' limitations? We all have limitations. And when you know them, then you don't put your wife or your husband in a situation that they're limited, they're not experienced in. You protect them from that. Number five, she needs to know that you enjoy setting aside quality time for intimate conversation with her. That is a hard one. I've already admitted that, confessed it to you, because I internalize. My wife doesn't. She gets it out. That's why she's going to live longer than me. Okay? Most men probably have a lot of the heart problems and stress they have is not share anything, keeping it inside. And a good wife can pull it out. But tell me how you feel. Why do you think you feel that way? Anything I can do to help alleviate that. And vice versa. But setting aside quality time, I heard somebody ask a lady one time, a wife says, would you rather have quality time or quantity? She goes, yes. Your wife wants as much of your time as she can possibly get. And she knows you got to go to work. And some of you wives, you got to go to work. We understand that. But quality time, talking time, conversation time. Number six, she needs to know that you are aware of her presence even when your mind is on other things, other matters. Only a pastor can understand a pastor. And that was one of the hardest things for Shelley, because as a pastor, you feel that you're responsible for every single member of the church. You're the shepherd, and you have to lead and feed and protect, and you cannot turn it off. No pastor at the end of the day can put in his time card and go home and not think about his job. A pastor can't do that. He wakes up thinking about people in the church. He goes to sleep thinking about his people in the church. And Shelley had to know, she had to be able to feel that even I'm aware of her presence even when my mind is on other matters, and not just live like she's not even there. That works both ways as well. Last of all, number seven, she needs to see that you are making investments in her life that will expand and fulfill her world. It's not just about your world. Investing time and money and ideas and plans and thoughts in things that she's interested in, and vice versa. That a wife can help her husband reach his goals. She knows he's trying some special things that he'd like to do and accomplish. Well, you don't want to make it harder for him to accomplish his goals. You want to help him. You want to make it easier for him. You take care of things. A wife takes care of things that her husband doesn't need to worry about right now because he's really tied up in this area. And the same thing with a husband. There's a lot of times, especially as a pastor's wife, that Shelley had to prepare for. And it was very stressful for her, and when she would speak to women's groups and things of that sort. And I knew the stress. I know it's hard for her. She's going to plan to sing tomorrow, but it is one of the hardest things in her life is to get up in front of people and sing. She has a great voice, and people always want her to sing with me. But I'll guarantee you tonight, she won't sleep because she knows we got to sing tomorrow. Okay. Now, once she gets up and gets started, she's okay. But when I know she's under that, or she's working on something that's very important to her, may not be important to me, it's important to her. Guess what? I'm going to go take care of some things, maybe in the kitchen or somewhere in the house or something, that she don't have to worry about that. You know, a lot of men, that's they never stoop to that. That's women's work. You'd be surprised how many men like that are out there like that. They hardly lift a finger. Because their friends may make fun of them. Yeah, you're henpecked. You got to check with your wife first. You know, I check everything with my wife because she's important to me. I affect her. She affects me. We do most everything together. I don't just disappear. I say, honey, I was thinking about doing this or doing that or going here with some of the guys. You got any plans? Will that work? I'm not asking her permission. I'm loving her. She's important to me. It's not about me. I'm not independent and have a maid in the house, okay? And she does the same for me. There's not many marriages and homes like that anymore. It's every man for himself. So that's the needs, and there's many more. Those are basic needs. Let's keep going just a little bit more. We'll take our final break because the last one is very short. Seven basic needs of a husband. If we had time, I would love on both of these to have you write down what you think are the seven basic needs of your wife And you husband do the same thing and just be interesting, just to see how they compare and if any of these would be involved in that. In Genesis 2, the Lord God said, "It is not good for the man to be alone. I will make him an helpmeet for him." A helpmeet. When a wife understands her husband's needs and undertakes to meet them, her husband will go to great lengths to prove to her that she is his first priority and express his affection to her. Number one, a husband needs a wife who respects him as a man and shows it. Respects him as a man and shows it. Men would rather have respect than love. Well, they need to be loved, obviously. We need that. We want that. But if a woman lets the week go by, doesn't say, "Honey, I just want you to know how much I love you and praying for you, thank God for you," or just a hug, or just, "Hey, I love you." But when it really comes down to it, a man wants a wife to go, "Wow, you're a good catch. I'm proud of you. I respect you." Yes, that's another subject of how do you earn that respect. I understand that. But women, ladies, you can respect your husband even when you don't maybe disagree with something that he's doing. I'm not talking about sin, right or wrong. But you can still show respect to your husband instead of saying, "I don't think you can do that. I need to get somebody else to do that. You'll never be able to do that." Number two, a husband needs a wife who accepts him as a leader and believes in his God-given responsibilities. A wife who accepts him as a leader. It's not a struggle all the time of who's going to have the last word. God said to complete, not to compete. And believes in his God-given responsibilities. Number three, a husband needs a wife who will continue to develop inward and outward beauty. You know, I mentioned this last night at the beginning that sometimes, let's just say most all the time, if you can go back to 6 months before you were married and 6 months after you were married and compare it to where you are now, how did you think? How did you act? How did you dress? What tone of voice did you have? You are constantly trying to make an impression on your future wife or husband. Am I right? Yes, I'm right, whether you want to admit it or not. You women spent much more time making sure everything was perfect. Now, our love changes. It gets more mature, and we understand all that kind of stuff. But it's wrong. It's not good when a husband or a wife says, "I don't care anymore. We've been married long enough. I don't have to dress up, or I don't have to look good, or I don't have to put on deodorant anymore. I don't have to do that stuff." That's not a good thing. A husband wants his wife still. Yeah, there are times when my wife doesn't get out of pajamas, or she's going to paint, so she puts on a sweatshirt of mine and doesn't fix her hair and no makeup. I don't have any problem with that. But usually, even to this day, I hate shopping, but I go with her sometimes. And she hates stock car racing, but she goes with me sometimes because that's what I like to do. Strange, isn't it? But she still can hardly buy a dress or anything without saying, "What do you think?" Now, I don't tell her how to dress. But it's important. She knows it's important to me that I like it, right? And she does the same thing with me every Sunday morning. She says, "Come in here and let me inspect you. There's a wrinkle, or your tie's not straight, or you got donuts on it," or something like that. what I'm saying is obvious. You still want to try to, a husband needs a wife who still wants to look as nice. And yeah, we're certainly not going to look the same way we did when the day we were married, duh. But we still want to try to develop inward beauty as well as outward beauty. Amen? Some of the most beautiful women in the world are very ugly inside, and vice versa. Number four, a husband needs a wife who can lovingly appeal to him when he is going beyond his limitations and wisely respond to those who question his ideas and goals and motives. I tell you, Shelley has always, as a pastor, Shelley has always, I mean, she explodes if somebody says something bad about her husband. I mean, she goes berserk. She'll go around me and get in their face and say, "You don't talk to my husband like that." I kind of like that. And I do the same for her. I say, "Wait a minute. You're out of bounds here. My wife pleases me. She don't have to please you." That's how we live. And a husband and wife, they need that. Number five, a husband needs quality time. Now, this one sounds kind of strange maybe, but a husband needs quality time to be alone with himself and with the Lord. Sometimes a wife, can have so many honeydews that he doesn't have time for God. He doesn't have time for some private time to do something, to be alone. I think women need that too, personally. I think we all need a little time to ourselves once in a while. We need a break, you know. Number six, a husband needs a wife who is grateful for all he has done and is doing his best for her. That's pretty self-explanatory. But a wife who's never satisfied, never has enough, always saying, "Yeah, but I want this and I want that," never grateful. You know, one of the biggest heartbreaks of a husband is to love his wife so much that right now he can't get her something that she wants, but he somehow, some way, someday, I'll get that for you because he loves her. But when he does the best he can and his wife says, "Yeah, it's all right," it doesn't make him feel very good. He's proud of himself that he did something for his wife, and she says, "Yeah, okay," or she doesn't even notice it. I know. Us men do not notice things sometimes about our wives that they do for us. But being grateful to your husband, your wife. Last of all, a husband needs a wife who will be praised by other people for her character and her good works. Praised by other people. I feel so good when people come to me and goes, "Boy, your wife is so much fun. She's such a blessing. She encourages me all the time. She always goes out of her way to take care of people or check on people." Man, it just makes me feel good, proud. Well, I'm glad you feel that way. I love her to death. She's a wonderful, wonderful lady. A husband needs to hear a wife who will be praying what other people are saying about his wife. If we had time, I'm sure you could probably come up with some other good ones. Well, there's a few other needs that I have or you have that we don't have time. But let's take another 10-minute break. And I'm going to try to be through at 11:30 so you can go to lunch and home. Let me turn off my microphone in case I have to cough.